Switching to Geico is a good idea, especially when you consider everything.
First off, Geico makes it easy to switch. They have licensed agents available 24/7 online or over the phone.
But if it's so easy, you might start thinking everything is easy, even big wave surfing. And it's not. It's actually quite difficult.
Well, if you switch to Geico, you could save hundreds on car insurance. And you could keep saving by bundling your motorcycle, boat, and RV, plus your home or renter's insurance.
But saving money might lead you to make some questionable purchases, like a 20-foot feather boa. And do you know how hard it is to clean a 20-foot feather boa?
Well, they do have an industry-leading mobile app you can use to pay your bill, file and manage a claim, or add a new driver.
But when life gets a little easier, it makes you too confident. And you start calling everyone Ace. And you're better than that.
Well, Geico has a 97% customer satisfaction rating and has been saving people money for 85 years. It's hard to beat that.
But you're right.
Switch to Geico. It's obviously a good idea.
Hi, this is Todd Graffinini, voice of your New Orleans Pelicans, and you're listening to Tina and Jeff on Floors Truly.
Good evening, beautiful people, and happy Tuesday. This is Tina and Jeff with this week's episode of Floors Truly. Hey, Jeff, happy Tuesday. How are you?
It's Tuesday again. How did that happen?
I have no idea. It's flying by. December always flies by, though.
Well, we want the rest of this year to fly by, right? We want to just get to the
next
one.
It's a catch-22 for me. I do and I don't. I love the holiday season. Everybody knows that. But yes, this year has just been so just, Heather, I don't even know if there's a word to describe everything. But yes, I understand where you're coming from. We want 2020 out of here and all the bad juju and everything that just happened and start a fresh new year. But I do love the holiday season. And I know the good thing is, I was looking at the calendar that we're like literally, you know, within a few weeks of carnival season starting and king cake and all that great stuff. So I'm just torn. I'm really torn. This is my favorite time of the year.
I think the good thing, for me, the holiday season doesn't end until Mardi Gras. So, you know, you have this wonderful time of year that starts at Halloween and rolls all the way to Mardi Gras. And so this year, since we don't know when Mardi Gras is actually going to happen,
right? We just know we're getting king cake.
I feel like in 2021 we're going to get like a bonus carnival season. So,
and that's really, that's the only thing that matters. If like you can take the parades, and I understand the theory behind all of that, but don't take our king cake, because let me tell you, New Orleans is going to riot.
Yeah, I think we just might. I think we might.
Yeah,
we're only a week away from king cake. I had one of our local bakeries here in Harahan that posted that they are a week away from being open with king cake, and they carry a bunch of the different, they carry the Nona Randazzos, they carry the Haydells, they carry the, the Manny Randazzo, they carry a bunch of them. It's like a one-stop shop to go and get king cake. So I'm excited. I can't wait. We're only a week away from king cake season. We're only 2 weeks away now from Christmas, just about.
Yeah, like
we are
roughly 15, 16 days away. So yeah,
we are rolling.
It's creeping up. My birthday's on the 20th. We play the Chiefs. I've looked forward to that ever since the schedule came out. Won't be in attendance this year. I think it's going to be a good game, but we'll talk about the Saints in a bit. But yeah, this is my favorite time of the year. My best friend's birthday is the day before mine. My mother-in-law as well is the day before mine. So the three of us, we can never forget each other's birthday. And the crazy thing is, you know, what they say about Sagittarius is, and we're supposed to be very independent spirits. And my mother-in-law and I get along great. And my best friend is the sister I've never had. So it's crazy. I think the rule does not apply for that.
Yeah, no, that's good.
I was born very early on the 20th of December. So technically I'm under the same moon as them because I don't know about my mother-in-law, but I know my best friend was born at night. So, it maybe technically because we were born under the same moon, that has something to do with it, but yeah.
It could. I'll tell you, it's interesting when you watch the personalities of people that are around you. And I grew up with it. I'm an April baby. All right. My birthday is the 7th of April. My brother is the 6th. My mom is the 3rd. My sister's the 14th. My dad was March 25th.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, everybody in the family, we have a birthday season that starts right in the middle of March and ends at the middle of May. And it's crazy. Everybody falls right into it. So
yeah, Dan always makes jokes about shopping for me because our anniversary, of course, was last month in November. And then he's got Christmas and my birthday in the same month. And my parents, my dad's birthday was in October and my mom was in November. I was December. But it's, I sympathize. I have a friend whose birthday is on Christmas Day. I've had another friend whose birthday was in December. Actually, it's a couple of friends in December. And I feel, you know, you feel sorry for Christmas babies because we're the ones that always get forgotten. Usually our birthday gifts are wrapped in Christmas paper and, you know, you just get the one gift, you don't get, right, not that right. It's about the gifts because it's really not, but you know, when you're a child growing up, it's really tough because usually in school they throw the birthday parties for the kids and, you know, yours is like the combination Christmas birthday party. Like, well, hey, look, it's the last day of school, we got a cake, but it's for Christmas and your birthday. Here you go.
My son is the 17th of this month. So we have a little bit of that in our own house. And then Cherie is, boom, January 4th. Like, it is right behind Christmas. So we've got the pancake situation happening here.
Yeah. But it's, like I said, it's my favorite time of the year. And it's just, it's so festive and there's always something to do. And I know we talked about it on the show last week. And because I love Christmas so much and because it's so close to my birthday, it's exciting. It's exciting time to be able to go and do things. Usually I'll go see either, you know, some of the Christmas lights or or go to one of the drive-through displays, or they had Shadrock, I think it was like 2 or 3 years ago, which is a drive-through musical display. And that was really cool and fun to see. I did Celebration in the Oaks 1 year. We'll do it again this year just because it's been a few years since they had the drive-through tour and I'm just in the mood to do it. But it's a fun time. So
yeah, it is, yeah, a fun
but I time. Do. I sympathize, you know. For all those people out there that have December birthdays. You're not forgotten, trust me.
Look, I think that we all recognize that this Christmas is certainly a different one than what we're used to. But I think there's so many good takeaways from it. The fact that you kind of get back to really what the spirit of Christmas is,
yes,
really what the spirit of family is, doing things together with your people in your household. You know, I work in the construction business most of my days. That is my actual job is in home construction. And I find that now when I talk to contractors and when I talk to homeowners, they're really trying to find the ways to design their homes with the idea that they're spending a lot more time together. They're going to be working from home. They're going to be, this is something that's not going to stop with the virus.
No.
It's going to continue long after it.
And from the real estate standpoint of it, companies are saving so much money by letting people work remotely. So I see that from because I have experience in real estate field, I see companies going to be downsizing space, money they'll be able to save on leases and rent because they won't need to, you know, put in, you know, 10 people in an office. They could probably downsize to half the square footage of what they're renting now because a lot of companies have went remote only. I mean, I know quite a few, and this is not a temporary thing. This is something that they've decided that, hey, it's working. We're just going to stick with it. Why not? I mean, the employees seem to enjoy it. And I mean, there's a lot of benefits to it. It just depends on your personality. I've done both, worked in office and then worked remotely. And at first I was the type of person, I've had a full-time job since I was 18. So I didn't know what it was like to slow down. And you and I talked about this way at the beginning of when COVID happened. And I didn't understand the whole reality of, hey, look, you know, this is going to be, you know, a new normal. I figured, oh, you know, a few months, but now, you know, the remote working from home and slowing down, I actually enjoy it now. I really do. And a lot of my friends who were just like me, crazy, crazy, go, 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 they're on that same track and they're enjoying it too. So this, you're right. This is not going to be a temporary thing. I think business owners, I think contractors, homeowners, people that are working remotely are starting to realize the benefits of it. And it's the old saying is like, you don't know what you have You know, you don't know if it's a better thing until you try it. Change is good sometimes. It's kind of like when people had the old flip phones and nobody really liked the big phones. Remember at first they were like, well, you know, how are we going to operate this? It's because it's change is different. And now everybody, you know, has a regular smartphone. Nobody right. hardly uses flip phones anymore. It's change, you know, it's just the cycle of change and you have to get used to it. And when you work out the logistics of it as a business owner, once all the scheduling and doing like Microsoft Teams and that type of thing from your house, people are used to it now and they enjoy it. And that's what it's about. When you work for a company, you want your employees to be happy because they're there, you know, 8-9 hours of the day. So whether they're home or whether they're in office, you want them to be happy. You want their morale to be boosted. And I think you're going to see a trend. I really do. I think for a few years that it's going to stay like this. And so people just start going crazy and want to be back in the office.
If you hate your job, then the solution is get a new job, you know, and companies know that. And we see that. And it does take getting used to change. Tina, we're getting used to change. This is the fourth season in a row that the Saints have won double digit wins in a season and going back, punch their ticket back into the playoffs. How do we get used to that? I remember playoffs was such a treat. Playoffs.
Yeah, I remember those. Right. I remember the days of before I was a season ticket holder a long time ago, buying tickets off of eBay for literally nothing. And I'm talking good seats, lower plaza level seats, literally for absolutely nothing. I remember my first Saints game was against the Dallas Cowboys, and I was sitting in the lower plaza 30-yard line. I got my tickets off of eBay for like $30. I mean, you couldn't beat that. And it was an early birthday present. I don't remember the exact date, but it was like the week of my birthday. And the Saints were not a great team then. And they beat the Cowboys. And that was Troy Aikman, that whole Emmett Smith era. I was so excited. I had great seats, but $30. I mean, you can't even buy a single nosebleed section ticket nowadays for $30.
Hold on, Tina. Unheard of. You bought your first Saints tickets on eBay?
I did.
You know, the first Saints game I went to, the internet wasn't invented yet. But here's what I'll tell you. Do you remember the days when they used to have the NFL used to delay the window to have the game blacked out in the market?
I did.
And Entergy would step up and buy a bunch of tickets and companies.
I do. A lot of Freeport MacMoran, Entergy.
Yeah, that's how I got my first tickets. My dad worked for McDermott, which was a built oil platforms. And the company would buy some tickets and give them out. And first game I went to was against the Rams. I remember it very well. It was a Monday Night Football game, and they couldn't even sell that out back then. And
radio was a great thing back then.
Exactly. And now we're talking about, you're worried about blackouts. We haven't heard the word blackout in terms of the Saints.
2006.
In a decade. I mean, it is amazing.
They have consistently sold out.
Used to this.
Yeah, they've consistently sold out since the 2006 season, and it's just incredible the support. I mean, the fans are through. I mean, because you know we had some rough 7-9 seasons there, and but yet the fans still showed up and supported them, and now you know we're in the playoffs. We can clinch the division this week, depending on what happens. I know we talked about this last week. If the Bucks lose and we win, then we clinch the division. And that's another record because I think no team has done it as many times in a row as we have. Because for years, I mean, the NFC South was it still is. So I don't want to take anything away from that. But I mean, for years, it went back and forth. It was the Saints, then it was the Panthers, then it was the Bucks, and it was the Falcons. So, I mean, we've been competitive, I mean, for the last couple of years. But I mean, we were one of the toughest divisions in the NFL.
Well, and I think what you see with the Saints, you know, and if you look at the NFC South, it's the perfect example. What you have happened in Carolina is you've got changes in coaches. You've got personnel that's in and out. You've had the same thing in Tampa. You've had the same thing in Atlanta. And New Orleans has been the model of consistency in the NFL. You've got a head coach that's been here now for 14 seasons. You've got a quarterback that's been here just as long. You've got players with the team that are staying well past what they normally would if they were playing in some other franchise.
We have even with the newer players that are here, we have a lot of leadership. A lot of guys are coming in that haven't. I mean, DeMario Davis has been with us for a couple of seasons, but I mean, he's taken over that leadership role. If you notice the pregame huddle, the chant, he's doing it while Drew is out, you know, on IR, and actually he's eligible to come back this week. But I mean, DeMario Davis just has literally stepped up and become a leader for this team on and off the field. I mean, Cam Jordan has for years. I mean, you don't think of the New Orleans Saints defense without saying Cam Jordan. Right. Thomas Morstead has been a, you know, solid pillar of the special teams. Will Lutz, I mean, these are guys that have been with the team for years, but a lot of these new guys like CJ has got more passion. You know, I mean, he needs to calm it down a little bit. We don't need those 15-yard penalties and him punching guys. But I mean, you know, he has stepped up and just, he's a baller. Quan Alexander has made such an impression on this team in such a short period of time. And you see that with players coming in here that are just cementing themselves and knowing, hey, look, the New Orleans Saints is a team I want to be, you know, with, and I want to plant roots and just know that we're competitive. And I mean, I feel like even we all kind of know Drew's clock is ticking, but I feel like even depending on what happens in the offseason, Sean Payton has an extension. He's going to be here. I mean, unless something crazy happens, but Sean Payton is here. He is our coach. And I feel like, you know, whatever decisions this team in the front office make in the offseason, wherever they decide to go, I trust them because, I mean, it's hard to argue right now, Sean Payton not for coach of the year. For two years in a row, Drew Brees has been out and we have went undefeated.
It's crazy. A very difficult argument right now because what you have is, and I think that it goes past Sean Payton. I think if you look at the stability in the front office, the way that they are evaluating talent, the job that Jeff Ireland is doing, I think is something that is completely understated when you watch this team. And of course, the Saints do something we all love. They shut out the Atlanta Falcons this season from winning a game against the Saints. So we
sweep, sweep, sweep.
2-0, we sweep them. Was it the prettiest game we ever saw?
No, it was an ugly win. It was a downright, came down to the last play, ugly win. But you know what? Not every game you're going to blow out a team. They're not all going to be pretty. And we're getting it done. We're getting it done in the trenches. And that's what matters. That's all that matters is to keep winning, baby. That's what we said that a couple of weeks ago. Remember, we kept saying, keep on rolling. That's what we're doing. We're rolling. No Drew, we're rolling. Mike Thomas, no, we're rolling. Our secondary's hurt, we're rolling. No, and that's what you just need to keep on doing.
If you look at what the Falcons have done this season, and I have to commend them, that is a different team than the first six games of this season. What they have put together and what they're doing is going to be a winning formula. That team is not going to lose many more games this season. But if you really break down what they're doing, they have got an organization that has had so much turbulence, so much flip-flopping, and now you've got a team that's starting to buy into a concept. The Falcons started the season 0-5. They won one of their first seven games. They were absolutely terrible. This is a team that last week took the Raiders, which is not a bad football team, to the woodshed. I mean, really put them down. And the Saints come out this week and win 21-16. Wasn't a pretty game, but those games are really what shows you what you are.
It doesn't matter. You've only got to win by 1 point.
We saw a great performance from Taysom Hill, 27-37, 232 yards and 2 touchdowns. Of course, I think we got to put some stickum on that football when it's in his hands.
And Sean Payton was questioned after the game about that. And that's something they plan on working. It's a chronic issue and it's a dangerous one. Now, I don't know. Drew is eligible to come back this week. I don't think he will. I don't think he should either. I think that he needs to sit out another week because that Chiefs game is going to be a challenge, but we all know how Drew is and he's a competitor. And he's chomping at the bit to get back out there. And of course, you want to give your team the best shot to win. And of course, you know, Drew Brees is you know, he's our leader. But I think this week with the Eagles, of course, it could be a trap game. You don't want to, you know, you don't want to take them for granted. They Doug Peterson announced earlier today that Jalen Hurts will be their starting quarterback and that Carson Wentz will be on the bench as the backup. He was benched, you know, for their game the other day. So we're going to be seeing, you know, the rookie out there, and, you know, you don't take that for granted. You don't take any team for granted. They're in the NFL. They're a professional football team for a reason.
They looked good. They looked pretty good last week against the Seahawks. And then look at what we joke about the NFC East, but this week, what happens? Seattle goes down to the Giants.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a big deal.
Giants have won four in a row.
The Giants have won four in a row. This is nuts. And then the team that everybody laughs about, the Washington football team, what do they do last night but knock off the only undefeated team remaining in the NFL, and in convincing fashion?
I had this discussion with somebody on Twitter, was talking to me. They were making an argument about Tomlin being coach of the year. I said, okay, that's fine. I know y'all are undefeated, or at least were undefeated at the time, but tell me what the Steelers would be without Big Ben. Right. I mean, you know, we were without Mike Thomas for several games. And we've been without Drew 2 years in a row. And of course, last year doesn't really count when you're talking coach of the year, because it's this season. But I mean, look what Sean Payton has been able to do. We just don't get that. We don't get the national respect. We never have. And, you know, it's the same thing with Drew. And I said this, you know, I'll say this to him, blew in my face: without a second ring, he'll never get it. So, I mean, do I think Sean deserves coach of the year? Without a doubt. To sit there and say, because nobody gives us a chance. Drew got hurt last year, and they were like, oh, Teddy Bridgewater, we know he's coming back from that injury and what he's going to be able to do. And yeah, some of the wins weren't pretty, but we found a way, and we're doing it with Taysom Hill. And yeah. So, I mean, I, you know, look, one game at a time, that's the way I'm looking at it. We're getting it done. Our defense is, again, the number one defense in the NFL this week. I mean, you can't argue that the Saints are finding a way, and that's all that matters. Get in there. We're on the road again, 3 weeks in a row. We're playing in Philly, beat the Eagles, you know, come home, get our guys healthy, and have all hands on deck for that game against the Chiefs. It's going to be a tough one. I think I said at the beginning of the season, when I looked at the schedule, I didn't like this game, but after watching the Chiefs, they are beatable. Their defense is a little suspect.
They are beatable.
So, I mean, if our defense can have the type of games they've been having the last couple of weeks, you know, we're going to give Mahomes a hard time. And if we get Drew back and he's, you know, near to 100%, we have a shot of winning that game. But again, that's 2 weeks from now. I'm not looking that far ahead.
The Broncos played the Chiefs very well last night.
They did.
It was a great game to listen to. But I tell you, I really am impressed with what the Saints have done. I really think that they've got to take their time getting Drew Brees back on the field. And I think there isn't a person in the NFL circle that isn't looking at that Saints Chiefs game going, could this be the preview of the game in February? That's
a
question.
I don't want to think about that right now. I want to get there. I want it for so many reasons, but I can't think about that right now. You know, yeah. Because especially given what's happened the last couple of seasons and our playoff hopes ending so heartbreakingly. So I just, you know, I recently developed this 1 week, one win at a game attitude. And I never used to do that because I'll be honest with you. I took the team for granted. I knew we were so talented and, you know, I just was so sure. But I mean, if the Nola No Call taught me anything, it's like, hey, look, on Sunday, any given Sunday, something can happen. So I'm at the point now, hey, look, you know, especially losing Drew again this year, let's get past the Eagles, you know, and then let's come home, get back in the dome, depending on how many fans were, I think they were scheduled. I think they said 15,000. I don't know how that's going to, because like I said, we're still, you know, 12 days away from that, but, you know, get in front of our fans and get Drew, you know, close to 100% back on the field. But yeah, that's going to be a crazy game. I mean, yeah, Patrick Mahomes, he's incredible. He really is. So that's going to be that. But if that game isn't flexed, I'm still in shock. It's not a primetime game, but
I think everybody's a little shocked. It's not a primetime game, but at the same time, it's a 3 o'clock start and all eyes are going to be on that game. I think at that point, you know, you look at the Saints have a very difficult game this week, being on the road again playing Philly, that is a Jekyll and Hyde team. You know, you've really got to show up and get the job done. And that may be Taysom Hill's last start. I wonder if against the Eagles we see some hints of Jameis Winston. But I think that really they are trying to find out exactly what they have in Taysom Hill.
Yeah, a decision, a very tough decision is going to need to be. We're going to be sitting in the same boat that we were sitting in last year, you know, with a quarterback that we're paying a lot of money to on a one-year deal with Jameis. The same thing happened with Teddy. So, and then we all know more than likely this is Drew's last season. So, I mean, we're sitting in that same boat. Okay, we've got Taysom, we've got Jameis. I wouldn't want to make the decisions that Sean Payton has to make for anything. Right, there's a reason why we're the fans and he's the head coach. He knows what's going on. But that's going to be another tough decision he's going to have to make in February. Right. I mean, probably even sooner than that, because they're going to have to sit down and start talking about it even before the season's over. Because, I mean, you know, the logistics of having to work everything out. I mean, we're in cap hell. I mean, there's no other nice way to say it. We are in cap hell. A lot of decisions are going to be made for a lot of plays. The New Orleans Saints is going to look like a very different team. There are quite a few players that I love, and this is nothing against their play or anything like that. I just don't think they're going to be a part of this team next year. You know, I think we're just not going to be able to afford them, or we're not going to be able to re-sign them, or contracts are going to have to be restructured. And it's going to be a very different team.
Well, there's no doubt that everyone in the organization is all in on the 2020 season. And I think if you're still not watching the games, if you're still going, oh, this season doesn't count, whatever you're doing, stop and watch not just this team, but watch this league. This league, I think, ultimately is handling the situation well. You know, I hate to give Goodell credit. We don't like to do that here, but I think we have to, in terms of the way the NFL season is.
Some teams have had issues. Some teams have had some issues.
Baltimore.
I commend the Saints for the way that they've handled this. Mrs. Benson and Sean and Mickey, you know, when we're on road trips, road games, they're renting out the entire hotel to keep everybody, player, staff, safe. They've really come down on players and put protocols in since camp about how to handle the COVID. And we've been very fortunate, very, very fortunate. We've had a couple of players test positive and they've been relatively, asymptomatic, but I mean, they've handled it really well. And then you've had some teams, like you mentioned, Baltimore and the Titans and Denver that just are, you know, they're not. I mean, everybody's going into this with a clean slate and, you know, the rules apply for everybody. It's just how you handle it. It's a billion-dollar business. And we talked about the bubble. And I mean, they've had discussions just up until I think it was like Saturday or Sunday about possible playoff bubbles, depending on where things fall.
Yeah.
So I mean,
it's going to be very interesting to watch how the rest of the season plays out.
The Saints are in. You know, wherever the chips may fall, we're with the number one seed. With Seattle losing, that kind of costs us our insurance a little bit. So we're going to have to really keep winning out because, I mean, we lost that game to the Packers. And if they wind up with the same record as us, then, you know, they're ahead of us and they get the one seed. Only one team is going to get a bye week this year. And there's seven teams going into the playoffs, which I really still don't understand why, but, you know, again, I don't make the rules. I only talk about them. Instead of six teams going in, there's seven, and you know, only one bye week. So Saints, just keep on winning, stay healthy, keep doing you, and you know, January, baby, playoffs, we're there.
We'll get there. One team that will not see the playoffs this year is going to be the LSU Tigers. Yes. After winning a national championship last year, they have. I wouldn't say the wheels have fallen off. I'd say that between what they lost between last year and this year and the challenges that they've had, I think that, you know, quite frankly, they could have lost Alabama worse than they did.
They could
have. And still put up, I think, a reasonable performance. And, of course, Tulane did close out their home schedule with a win against Memphis at Yulman Stadium. So, you know, the college football ranks are rolling along. We're seeing a lot of odd situations there, but you know, LSU I think is going to return bigger and better next year. And of course, Tina, you know, the high school playoffs are still rolling along. And my Brother Martin Crusaders are moving on. They won a game in classic fashion this weekend. Came down to the wire, beat Jesuit, move on. I'm thrilled. So still a lot of football out there. It's one of the things that makes this the most wonderful time of the year, right?
Yes, yes. And
we can't ask for nicer weather and just all the events that are going on in and around the city, whether it be, Christmas in the Oaks or, you know, the Fulton Street, Lafayette Park, the displays over at the Roosevelt, the Royal Sonesta. I mean, we talked about it last week. There's just so many things. And also, too, with the weather being nicer and it not being 100 degrees outside in humidity, there's a lot of things to do outdoors. You could take a trip to the Audubon Zoo. You can go to the aquarium. There's a lot of things that you can do, you know, that like we had talked about before, that you can social distance still take your family out. I mean, because I know there's only so many Christmas lights you can tolerate, but I know that. Miss Christmas, I understand that. But there's a lot of fun things to do out there. And I mean, especially with kids going to be out, 2 weeks for the holidays this year. So they're a little stir crazy. So you're going to want to find some things for them to do. And, you know, I know mom and dad are probably sitting there going, oh man, please, no more Christmas lights, no more Christmas candy, cookies. But yeah, I mean, take them to the zoo. I mean, the weather's been nice. This is the time of the year for us to be able to do. We don't get a real winter per se here in New Orleans. No. We get cold fronts that last 2 or 3 days and then it's back 70 degrees. And I mean, 70 is not bad, but I mean, of course, you know, when you're sitting there looking at, actually it came up in my Facebook memories, it snowed 3 years ago. We had close to 8 inches of snow when they initially said it was going to be a half an inch and it wasn't going to accumulate. The interstate system was shut down. I don't know if you remember that in 2017. It was crazy. So I looked at those pictures today, it came up in my Facebook memories. I said, was that really 3 years ago? It seems like forever ago. But yeah, the streets were full of snow. I mean, it was so thick. My poor plants have a little bench in the back. You couldn't even see it. It was covered. My birdhouses. It was beautiful to look at. But I sympathize for people that live in the north that have to deal with that on a regular basis, because afterwards it was an utter mess. It really was.
I got a buddy that lives on the North Shore and he texted me the other day. Now this is the guy that you'd always go to his house and he'd have the AC on 60. And of course he was a cop. So while he was working, he'd get home and he just want to relax and cool off. Right. Well, now he texted me the other day and he says, look, man, I live on the North Shore now and I don't think I can deal with it. I said, what do you say? What do you mean? He says, we've gotten down to the 20s, two nights this month already. And, I can't find enough blankets in the house. And I'm going, well, you know, it is chilly, man. That's part of, and he said, I think it may be getting older. I said, it could be, but I think it's also pretty cold right now, which I think we're soaking up. We've been in the 40s and 30s every morning.
We haven't had a chance to build our first fire yet, but I know it's going to be coming. We've been so crazy busy with doing stuff here at the house and that outdoor kitchen and all, but I mean, I want to build that first fire. It's going to be nice. I got the marshmallows and the graham crackers and the Hershey bar to make s'mores. I just got to sit still long enough to be able to do it. So, but this is the really nice time of the year. And when we have, a good 6 to 8 weeks of cooler weather, we try to enjoy it as much as we can, which like I said, as soon as Christmas is over, we roll into carnival season. So, I mean, obviously we don't know what's going to happen with parades this year, but I mean, still, I mean, there's just, you've got king cakes and just so much the music. I mean, that to me, that's one, and especially because my dad having his band, and I think that's where it comes from, is I love listening to the carnival music, Zydeco, jazz. I mean, it's that time of the year, from here on out. I mean, I'm Magic 101.9 is in my car. That's what I listen to all day, the Christmas music. But then, as soon as Christmas is over, they start rolling into throwing into some of that carnival music. And it's a fun time. And I know they announced this year a couple of the crews weren't doing the balls. That's a little disappointing too for them. I know they throw a lot of time and effort and money goes involved with that, but we understand why. But I mean, still, the spirit of carnival is going to be there.
Right.
It may just look a little different.
It'll look a little different, but I think that we'll still find our ways to celebrate it. And like you said, the king cake is going to be there. So I'm not worried about that.
Oh, you know it.
You know, this time of year, you really just have to get back to enjoying the basics. And I think that we are doing that. I think we're doing the best that we can in this city. You know, New Orleans has done a really good job of following protocols. We all kind of want to get this thing over with. We want to get back to our normal lives, but we understand that there are new normals that we can embrace and we can kind of get used to a little bit and still find ways to do it. You know, I live in Harahan here, and the city of Harahan has always had a Christmas parade every year. And this year, they're not having the Christmas parade. Of course, that's kind of comes with the territory that we're in right now, but they are making sure that Santa still makes his way through the streets. So they are going to have a quote unquote Santa drive-through that's going to wind through every street in Harahan. While it won't look like a normal parade, it'll still give the kids an opportunity to see Santa pass through the neighborhoods. And I think little things like that, I saw one that happened this week in Louisiana that was a drive-through parade. Everything kind of staged out and you could bring your car through it. And I think that those are the ways that you can still find a way to enjoy the season.
Yes.
In your neighborhoods.
And that's the one thing wonderful about New Orleans is we always find something unique to do, even if it's not normal. It's, you know, it's not weird if it works.
It's not weird if it works.
But I will tell everybody this. If you haven't gotten your Christmas tree yet, as a regular frequent VIP member at Lowe's lately, they still have a lot of real Christmas trees out. Christmas decorations, not so much. There's like very few things left, but they do have a lot of real trees out there. Home Depot, a lot of your local lots, you know, shop local. But yes, if you haven't gotten your Christmas tree, go get them because they're disappearing quickly. I know a lot of people wait and to go closer to Christmas to try to get a real tree, especially because, you know, it's a lot of upkeep and stuff. I've had both. We used to do real trees for years and, you know, we gravitated to an artificial tree, but yes, they do have quite a few, you know, trees out there, different lots and available. So if you haven't gotten yours, go get it while you still can. Get that tree up, get it decorated, get in a festive spirit, you know, because Christmas will be here very soon.
Yeah, and you know, people are out there getting the Christmas trees. I've seen more Christmas trees on top of cars this year than I've seen in a long time. But if you wait too long, you're going to get the Charlie Brown tree. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's got the two branches. That's all you're going
to
get.
And just to give y'all a little clue on what's going to be on next week's episode, I have some holiday recipes we're going to be sharing with y'all because we know how much you love when we talk about food. Yes, and then we have a lot of special things like turtles and cookies and brownies that we make specifically just for the holidays. So on next week's show, we'll be talking about that. So, you know, just wanted to give y'all a little heads up. And of course, if you have any questions or if you have a recipe that you want to share with us, you can hit us up on social media. I am Tina at The Nola Girl on Twitter and Instagram, or you can hit us up at Floors Truly at Floors _ Truly. And Jeff, tell everybody where they can find you out there.
Of course, you'll find me at The Nola Rola on Twitter. And of course, you get me on Facebook, Jeff Momus. I'm not spelling it this week, Tina. If you haven't heard it by now, then listen next week.
So I hope everybody has a fabulous week. And we will see you next week on Floors Truly. Who dat? Go Saints. Playoffs, baby.
Ho, ho, ho.
At Acuity Insurance, we believe the things you do for your business are heroic, and you deserve someone equally heroic to protect them. We put our all into covering your business so you can focus on the things you love most. That's the power of heart. Acuity Insurance, wholeheartedly for you.
Your AC works overtime all summer, so be sure to replace your old air filters with new Filtry air filters. They recommend updating HVAC filters at least every 3 months all year round. So order your Filtry air filters today at Filtry.com. Let's clear the air.